Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Shannon Attack.
Is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated offers the maximum discount on Privateer Press products. When you order $30 or more, you'll receive free or reduced shipping. You can find the web store at www.discountgamesinc.com. Chain Attack, the War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Trevor, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. I don't think I've ever been here this late before.
I could have swore that we have done a record this late? With Scott.
Oh, I'm sure we have with Scott. Yeah, but that was years ago.
Okay.
That was a different eon.
Those engrams don't process anymore.
I'm Jay, and...
And you still abuse people with Infernals.
Hey, I just got to play a game with Amadamos, and it was good fun.
I'm Josh, and I probably should be playing Infernals, because the truth is, my entire life I've been trying to play a list where you can just charge your caster across the board with no consequences, and I just watched Jay do it.
Listen, Josh, if you can get your opponent to roll 3 fives in a row on your caster,
that's fair.
Then you can do whatever the hell you
but
want with whatever.
You know
caster
what?
You want.
I need to get a solid Barnabas 2 list going. That's what I need.
Yeah, you do,
because he could do that.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They would have. Right. They could even roll.
I'm Josh, and I play Barnabas 2.
One William Hungerford approves of this message.
Well, good, because I got a message he's not going to approve of in a minute.
It's perfect segue. Go.
Okay. Was it time? I didn't want to mess up the timing. Okay. Dank Dune meme. First of all, Ian Wilson, you are my new hero for providing not just one, but now multiple Dank Dune memes. I'm so happy that there are more of them out in the world. Do you know what I mean? It's just like when people used to start sending me all the fun dad jokes. Okay. So this Dank Dune meme is, I believe, Gordon Ramsay.
Yes.
In Gordon Ramsay form. Which is yelling, right? And it says...
It's a Hell's Kitchen meme, yeah.
This dish is so full of spice. House Harkonnen has established mining operations. Ooh, I love it. All right. Shall we talk about community builders?
Sure, that's probably the correct thing we should have been
doing. Okay, so I wish that I could give everyone a participation trophy for this week's nominations, because they are so good, and there was great conversation. So this week's community builder was on getting new people into the game. Official nominations for people who have shown selflessness, friendliness, and been a big proselytizer for the game and community can be posted here. So, not even kidding. There are fantastic nominations here. I invite all of these to please be resubmitted. But we have selected for tonight's winner a nomination by Mr. James McLeod. He has nominated Chris Ocasio. And he just talks about, since he's been part of the Chicago meta, that Chris has personally greeted each new member of the Facebook group, offered to demo or help reintroduce rules to players that are coming back. And he will often welcome new players into the Discord as well and direct them to players who can help them with their chosen faction. Now, I'm an old man. I kind of know what Discord is, but that seems like an awesome use of, you know, modern technology for shepherding games. Then, real briefly, he says, this is what kind of sold me. He says, recently he's put together a Journeyman League, which has brought in 7 or 8 new or returning players who quit in Mark II. So I think that's just awesome. Then he just talks about some of the things he did to make that Journeyman League, you know, progress easier, and track how he tracked the games, and how he gave everybody Discord aliases to just kind of build the community. Anyway, just sounds awesome. And he had some other people that commented on his nomination. So I want to say thank you, Chris, and congratulations. But I think it's awesome. What really sold me is that this nomination highlighted the fact that when we're bringing new players into the game, sometimes it's players that were not new players. You know what I mean?
Sure, that were
like
returning
that you're
players.
That you're bringing back people, and I think that's awesome
for the people who are LDS in the audience, the less actives.
I didn't go there. But am I right? Discord is like a computer chat thingy.
Yes.
I'm such an old man and a single player gamer.
Neither of you two really know what it is?
Yeah, I know what Discord is. It's fucking awful.
Oh, is it? No, it's not. It's amazing. Gosh, guys. It's also an audio app. Like it takes over for all the previous.
I'll
show my age here for Roger Wilco.
Whoa. Okay. All of the what, Jay?
TeamSpeak.
All the WoW guilds use Discord and they chat with each other. And okay. Then when they're raiding, they do Discord.
Oh, geez. Every PUBG.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like I know about it because it seems like it
is the best now.
But it's awful still.
Well, I don't like audio chat.
Oh. Or,
just like I don't like
you were predisposed to have problems with it.
Like one of my predilections is that I also hate video in especially in like social media or whatever.
Oh my god.
Like Twitter. Like I don't want to watch your
go
fucking
go on the rant right now. I support your rant fully.
I don't want to watch your fucking video.
I'm scrolling through things that are text and picture based for a reason.
And the thing that's awful is that Brian now does like video. And so like last thing before we go to sleep, he watches like random Facebook videos and they're so fucking loud.
So does Laramie. That's so funny. Oh my gosh. But the funny thing about her, I love watching her do it because she's like too long.
You know, does she look at the time on it?
No, she'll start watching it, and then she'll be like,
she realizes it's too
like
long.
If it doesn't just like instantly suck her in or whatever, you know, it's just
and then
funny.
You get a minute in, and it starts an ad in the middle of the video, I want to murder the world. Yes.
So Discord is also a text chat
system.
You don't have to do the audio portion of it. It works both ways. It does all kinds of things. It tells you what games people are in. So it's also, I can't remember what that old chat client was that used to tell you what games people are playing. Anyway,
it won't matter because as much as I want to believe that I'm a multiplayer video gamer, I'm not.
Yeah.
I will do a little shielding to Josh would be proud of this.
Okay.
But the one I've spoken a lot of ill of Discord, but I will say that one of the things that's awesome about Discord is that with the meta, the podcast I do where I interview various people in the community, has various Patreon backer levels. The $1 level, you can hear the bonus episode.
Mm-hmm.
And the $2 level, you hear the bonus episode, and you can also chat with me in a Discord channel. And I'll get suggestions on who to have on. And then I'll also, once someone's selected, I'll ask them, people, you know, what questions do you want to have asked? And so I'll get listener submitted questions through Discord. As much as I've bitched about Discord, I do.
You're clearly using it as a tool.
I do appreciate it with the meta. So,
so basically,
the Discord client I was trying to weed whacker was X-Fire. Do you remember that?
Vaguely, only very vaguely.
I hated it because it tracked the number of hours you played games.
Oh, nice. No.
So I knew how many hours I'd played in.
Yeah,
WoW,
but what if you leave the game on overnight? Does it keep tracking?
It just knows how long you have the client open.
Oh, I got you.
But I knew how much time.
That's the problem with like the Steam game time tracking.
Oh yeah. It keeps track of how much.
None of that's true, Laramie. Just so you know, if you ever like figure that out and go look at it for some reason, I've never played Civilization for that many hours, but I have left it on for that many hours.
Just multiply it by 0.9.
See, mine's the opposite.
Right, true.
I look at my games and it's like 10 minutes played. I'm like, son of a.
Why did I buy that game?
Yeah. Why haven't I played it more?
Continue shilling.
Continue with the Master shilling. Larson. Okay, very well. So first one from Muzon Minis. This is, I think, a fantastic offer. So if you do an order from Muzon Minis that has a token set or a token expansion, we will include through the end of September a Hermit of Hengehold token in the order so that you may have your token. It'll be free so that you may put out your token for this new awesome model.
Like it's a proxy for him or it's a
No.
He has
his in-game token. So abilities. You don't have to buy the Infernal set to get his specific token.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, okay. I got you.
So he has telemetry.
Right.
For bonuses to hit with spells and then he has Master of Ruin or something like that.
Right. The minus armor one.
Nice. And so it will you'll have your token so that you can put that out for him.
I'm about to lead you. I'm going to give a leading question here that probably should have been in the script, but it's not. It's funny that I pretended there's a script.
It is funny, yes.
Will there be? Will Museum Minis have some Crisis Protocol tokens happening in the not too distant future? And I could get my Hermit of Henge hold token in that way?
Question mark. I'm not sure what we're going to do with that, because one of the things that's interesting with it is that the starter box has like 170 tokens in it.
Oh, it comes with tokens.
Yeah. Well, cardboard tokens.
Oh, well, that's garbage.
Correct. But on the other hand,
those are going right in the shredder, Jay.
If we're making like 170 acrylic tokens, you know,
that's a pretty expensive.
That's like 50 or 60 bucks, and which compared to a $100 starter starts, you know.
Okay, that's fair. It wouldn't stop me, but I have.
Yeah, I understand.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't stop me either.
I mean, we'll see. Currently we don't know the abilities, et cetera, to make it.
Oh. So they couldn't even be generated yet. Okay. I will find another token set to purchase to get my Hermit of Angel token. Not sure what other token set I need. I gotta think about that.
And
I've bought my Keyforge token sets. What do I need, Jay? Gaslands. Maybe I should start playing Gaslands.
Yeah, he has a lot of really cool Gaslands stuff, by the way.
I'm all in.
Oh yeah,
we've all had in this. Gaslands 2020.
We've had this discussion, haven't we? All right.
Okay.
I'll keep shopping. Carry on.
So for Discount Games Inc., we have some exciting stuff for it. We have next week we have the release of Riot Quest, and then we also have the second wave of Infernals models.
Oh, excellent.
And so lots of cool stuff for Privateer Press coming out.
Remind me, the Riot Quest box set is how much?
Starter box is 50 bucks.
Oh, man, that's nice.
Yeah.
Including how many models?
It's half the price of Crisis Protocol.
Half the models as well, but but you do get your map and a bunch of tokens, etc., to start playing with. So I'm excited for that to start seeing some play.
I can't remember, what are the five models that come in the box set?
One is Bamfist.
Okay.
The Zool model.
Uh-huh.
There's the Gobber.
There's Sir Dreyfus.
Dude, the troll.
No, I think Boomhauer's the single.
Oh, he doesn't come in the starter.
Yeah,
no.
I don't think so.
Is the elf lady, mage hunter, Iris?
No, I think she's a single too.
What?
Okay.
Five models.
Okay.
I'm certain of at least 40%.
How about Captain Crocodile?
No.
Also a single?
Yeah.
Jeez. Sorry, I can't commit to buying this one. I don't know what the models
are. The Tinker Lady is, right?
Possibly. I think she probably is.
We're so informed.
All right. I have some passing interest, but I have my
starter, but it's been shipped off to Mark Harrison to get painted.
Sure. Yeah.
So we'll have some blog posts about that.
I'm interested in trying it. How's that? When you guys have your sets ready, I will try.
It is reasonable. That awesome. Position.
Okay, well, do we want to start? We're going to do a forecaster four-way today. Very exciting.
On to the main topic.
Do we want to do Minions first or Grimkin?
I mean, I always want to do Minions first, but
okay, let's do Minions.
Okay, well, this is Raw, right? Here we go. What are we building?
We're Raw all
that's,
the time.
That's up to you, Josh.
Well, let's build.
What are you excited about?
Barnabas, Lord of Blood.
But only we've already done him.
Only because we just talked about. Okay. I want to know if we can. Okay, two options here. Can we build a Lord Carver list with the new Thornfall theme? And or can we build a Helga list?
Are you asking us for permission?
Yeah. I'm saying which one do you guys want to most help me with?
Helga. Because I don't see any. I still don't see
you
Carver.
You still don't see Carver?
Don't see him as being competitive.
I know. I was trying to crack Carver, dude.
I can appreciate your love of Carver. I have a beautifully painted Carver that I would love to play.
Fabulously painted. Okay.
But I just don't see it.
I think I might have a Helga list here, but that's probably not what you want. You don't want my Helga list.
Okay, so we're creating a Helga list.
I actually do have I literally have a Carver list.
Real quick, before we need to go back to Pimping Muse stuff.
Okay.
And doing the audible description of product that Nigel's been working on.
That you need a visual.
Are you going to get our visual reaction?
Yes, obviously.
I love this almost as much as Dank Dune memes.
Okay, so here's the work that he's been doing on the Menoth themed zones.
Oh, you showed us this last time, but now he's got the stained glass going in there.
And the square that we didn't see last time when we saw the circle last time.
Oh, that's right. That's looking cool. I mean, I wouldn't summon demons on it like the infernal ones, but
so to describe it, there's the Menafix in the middle, some stained glass that is filling out the rest of the zone, and then some stonework that is.
What did you tell me the phrase?
Edging it.
The phrase is that's around it?
Nigel said it. I'm pretty sure that he did a quote from Samuel Jackson.
I love Nigel so much.
In Pulp Fiction.
I want to buy them just for
is
that.
Is it like something like, say Infernals one more time?
So there are Manoth glyphs in the zones that have some spellings going on.
Okay, excellent. I love it.
Okay, so which one are we going to do?
Okay, well, I literally have a Carver list built.
Okay.
So should we go?
We can talk about how bad Carver is.
Yes. Go through it and see if it's redeemable. I feel like I
did. Is this one that you did post-requisition?
Or? It is post-requisition, yeah. I'm questioning my use of requisition points a little bit, so maybe that would be a good part of the conversation. So shall I just lay the list on you gentlemen first, or do we want to go through Carver stats?
Let's go through Carver stats and the theme stats first. And then we can
the
talk
new
about,
theme, yeah.
Yeah, what
good
you're
going
to put into the
okay,
list.
So Lord Carver, BMMMD, Esquire the Third. Does that mean he's a lawyer? I've always wondered that. How do you get Esquire?
I mean, I would let him represent me.
He is a Fury 6 minion Pharaoh Warlock. He is speed 6, mat 7, rat 6, death 15, arm 17 with a command of 9 on a small base with tough. He has a sawed-off shotgun that is a spray 6, rate of fire 2, pow 12 weapon, and the Hand of God, which is his totally amazing-looking sword, which is a range 2, pow strength 15 magic attack.
I mean, if my lawyer carried those two things around,
that's true.
I would be okay.
Now I really
with that.
Wish mine did, actually. So he has 17 hitboxes. Well, I'll skip this. Something that's added by the theme. He's a Pharaoh Warlock, so he can only have minion Pharaoh Warbeasts in his battle group. He's a veteran leader Pharaoh Warrior. So while in his command range, other friendly Pharaoh Warrior models gain +1 to attack rolls. And his sawed-off shotgun, his sawed-off scatter gun, excuse me, has a both barrel star attack, which gives him a +4 to the damage roll for that attack. So then it would become a spray 6, pow 16. But you can't make additional ranged attacks during an activation at which he makes a both barrels attack. It's sensible, it's thematic, it's lovely. Spells. Carver has Batten Down the Hatches, which is a cost 3 range self AoE control, lasts for a round. While in the spellcaster's control range, models in its battle group cannot become knocked down and gain +3 arm, but suffer -2 defense. Batten Down the Hatches lasts for one round. Mobility is a cost 3 range self AoE control that lasts for a turn. Models in the spellcaster's battle group currently in its control range gain +2 speed and pathfinder for one turn. He has Quagmire, which is a cost 2 range 6 and is upkeepable. While base-to-base with target-friendly faction model unit, enemy models suffer -2 defense and cannot advance except to change facing. And he has Rift, which is his nuke, I guess. Cost 3 range 8, AoE 4, POW 13, lasts for a round. The AoE is rough terrain and remains in play for one round. His feat, Hog Heaven. While in Carver's control range, friendly Pharaoh models gain overtake and an additional die on melee damage rolls. Hog Heaven lasts for one turn. When a model with overtake destroys one or more enemy models with a basic melee attack during its combat action, after the attack is resolved, it can immediately advance up to 1 inch. Okay, so I mean, this list I think is built trying to take advantage of his Pharaoh leader and, you know, the stuff he does for troops.
Okay.
Part of his issue, I feel like, has always been, are you building for beasts or are you building for troops? And yeah. Also, do you have a way to pay for these really expensive spells?
Okay.
So this is the list. Lord Carver.
Hold on. What theme are you going in?
Oh, sorry. That's right. Thornfall Alliance. So the new Thornfall Alliance, his requisition options are a Pharaoh weapon crew unit, one minion command attachment, one Ifarat scout solo, or one smaller medium-based minion solo without the lesser warlock special rule. The benefits are that Pharaoh Warbeast models gain salvage. Salvage is that when a warjack is destroyed while in the melee range of a model with salvage, you remove d6 damage points from the model with salvage. And if the destroyed warjack was a heavy warjack or colossal, you remove +3 additional damage points from the model with salvage. Pharaoh warrior models in the army gain rise, which means Carver also gets rise. And before models are deployed at the start of the game, you can place 2 trench terrain features anywhere completely within 20 inches of the rear table edge of your deployment zone.
So the trenches are kind of a big deal, I feel like.
Are they a big deal because of the new scenarios or just in general?
No, I think they're a big deal in general, and I think they're a big deal for Carver because a lot of times he doesn't have enough fury to...
Oh, so he can be closer to naked.
Helps and, keep him alive.
Yeah, helps keep him alive easier. I mean, allows you to put him in a position where he's relevant.
Because he'll be def 14 in the trench?
He's 15. He'll go to 19 in the trench.
Or what did I say? I meant 19, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, and then if he's batting down the hatches, he's still 16 in the trench. 16, 20 is reasonable.
Oh, because, with the armor, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And generally, my issue with Carver is always you want there's that one turn where you really
want to be naked,
where you really have to be naked to be able to get mobility and batten out at the same time. But those are the turns you always lose on.
And usually, yeah, like usually, what does that turn look like where you want that?
For me,
yeah, it's kind of your like.
I mean, it's the
it's
turn.
Your strike, your alpha strike, feet turn, right?
Like honestly, it's the turn where if you cast batten down the hatches, you get alpha'd.
Oh,
if you cast mobility, you get the alpha, but then they get to retaliate.
Right.
It's that turn. It's the turn where you need to be able to cast both so that you can come in, use your feet generally, because it's a feet turn too.
Right, right.
Which means you're standing way farther forward than maybe you want to be. And you're wanting to get all of those things. And maybe that's too many eggs in one basket and you're asking for too much. But really, if Carver's going to win the game, that's the turn that he has to have go his way.
To kind of get up on attrition, probably.
It feels like
right?
it.
Yeah, I could see that.
It feels like it. And, okay. And so certainly, maybe not the feet, but certainly the ability to stand enough far forward to be able to put all of that out, stand naked, and still be relatively safe. And sometimes the table just doesn't work for you that way.
Right.
And this theme list fixes that, meaning that there's almost always going to be a trench right where you need it to be.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so that's cool. I hadn't thought about the trenches. That's good. So okay, here's the list I've got. So I've got Carver. His battle group is a Warhog and three Battle Wars. I've got two Swamp Gobber Chefs. Then for requisition, I have two Pharaoh Razorback Crews. And then the other requisition point I'm using for one of the Pharaoh Brigand Warlords. So I have two max units of Brigands, both with their Warlords. Then I have a max unit of Pharaoh Commandos, a Slaughterhousers, and the other thing that I think will help keep Carver alive on that turn we just discussed, Trevor, I have a unit of Pharaoh Valkyries.
Yeah, and that helps. Shield I mean, truthfully, guards. My experience with Carver was all before they came out.
Oh.
And he was always in danger of death, and the Valkyries help a ton.
Go ahead. They won't save him from spell
assassination. Save him from spells, but... and that's true. And the trench isn't going to save him from everything. Don't get me wrong.
Right, yeah.
But it certainly helps. Did you say two max units of Brigands?
Two max units of Brigands, yes, sir.
Okay.
And the Commandos, they are native ambushers now, which...
You said two...
Two max units of Brigands.
Okay.
And each of them with a Warlord.
Uh-huh.
One of the Warlords is a requisition point.
Right.
You said the max unit of Commandos as well?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I have everything except for the two gobbers, which I don't need to put in here.
But... Sure.
Okay.
They will provide a little fury management, potentially.
Sure.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously you've gone deep into the troops thing and you've kind of ignored. And so now it feels like you've solved one of the issues in that I don't feel like you're going to probably ever cast bat. I don't think that it's necessary.
Because it only affects the battle group.
Once it gets to later in the game, probably.
I mean, you're going to save a battle boar?
Or you hold back the Warhog potentially.
Okay.
I mean, it feels like the troops can lead since these guys are Mat 7, Rat 6 now.
What's your battle group again?
It's the Warhog and three Battle Boars.
Oh, okay.
And you know, maybe that needs to be different. I don't know.
I had misheard you and thought you said that you had like three or four of the heavy.
Oh
no, he's only got one heavy.
Only got the one heavy. Yeah.
Which I mean, the Battle Boars, you know, you can. Especially on feet turn, they can primal themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They can use feet to go in and do considerable damage, and then the troops can clear up. I mean, you can kill some heavies that turn.
What's the melee power strength on the Brigands?
On the Brigands, it is 10.
It's 10.
It's 10, but they have prey because they're warlord.
12, yeah.
So against the prey would be 12.
On feet turn, they're effectively weapon masters.
Yes. Power strength 12 weapon masters
with overtake,
and they could be mat if they have quagmire on them. They could be the equivalent of mat 8, mat 10 against their prey.
Oh right, because they right. Let's see. No, they'd go to mat. Well, if they're still in Carver's veteran,
I forgot about Carver's veteran.
They'd be mat 9 against their prey.
That's +1 to hit, not +1 to melee attacks.
+1 to attack rolls for veteran leader.
Yeah. So it's both ranged and melee.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nice thing, too.
Right.
One of the things that Brigands struggle with a little bit is hitting on their ranged attacks unless they combine.
Right.
Right.
But now you... Yeah,
oh, they don't have combine anymore.
No,
do they?
They don't.
Was that used to be
I don't remember.
Lines?
It may have been in Mark II.
I think there was like a theme benefit or something.
Yeah, I thought that was a theme benefit in Thornfall Alliance before.
Right.
So that's painful, losing...
Not having the combine.
Yeah,
well,
having combined.
Getting +1 helps with it, but yeah.
So here's my complaint.
I'm ready.
I dislike that this feels like you've basically taken everything Pharaoh that you can take. Like you've basically said, okay, I'm going to open the chest and we'll just
find me the Pharaoh keyword.
We will just scoop off all Pharaoh things into the basket and that's our list.
Well, I mean, in this theme list, I mean, I could take a Gatorman Soul Slave.
Okay. So what your counter is that I'm taking everything I can because that's really what I can take.
Right. A little bit. Yes. I mean, that it does feel like that. As a matter of fact, some of the conversation that I've seen in the Minions group, you know, is that even with the changes to the Thornfall theme, it still feels like you're going to play and will work for food almost, you know,
right.
9 times out of 10 with your Thornfall stuff.
Because the solos available to you are limited in Thornfall, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and if like, because I went through and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, well, what else could I take? And I start looking through the list of solos available in Thornfall, and there's nothing here compelling that's like, man, that should have been in the list.
Yeah,
what
I
am
mean,
I going to put in here?
You take Rorsch and Brian instead of the Commandos.
Lanissa Rissell is the one that
right.
sort of comes up.
Which you would, I mean, if you went only 2 Battle Boars and you took a Gatorman Soul Slave, which would help Carver out just a little bit, and, sorry, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, and then took Lanissa. You know, that's how you'd get her in. So you could get her in without.
You can't take the Gatorman Soul Slave in Thornfall, can you?
Oh nope, no, you can't. Never mind.
Yeah, I was gonna say that doesn't even work. So again, you have to jump out of Thornfall to make that work.
Yeah, which actually the Gatorman Soul Slave is, I think, one of the big reasons that people will end up playing Will Work for Food instead of Thornfall. Still,
how deep are we into the episode here? Let's rebuild. I don't want to make it in Thornfall Alliance.
Really?
Let's make it in Will Work for
you
Food.
You want a copy in Will? Okay, all right.
Well, give me the argument for why I would make it in Thornfall Alliance.
Rise. Because you're playing the trenches.
That's your argument?
And
Rise.
And the trenches. You just said trenches.
The trenches.
You made my argument with the trenches. This is on you.
Carver, you're all my lawyer only.
You get
I will not
to,
send you to the battlefield.
You also get to play with all the Pharaoh. So, I mean, that makes
Josh.
That's Josh's reason.
Right. Well, yeah, that's factually accurate.
So I get to twirl my hipster mustache and say, "Ha ha! I'm in Thornfall." That is the benefit not listed here.
I don't know if I can ever really be considered a hipster, but yeah,
you're a hipster heart, whether or not you know it.
I have a hipster heart.
You don't really want to. You don't really like shove anybody's face. You're like, you know, I did this before.
Oh,
it was cool.
Right.
You
I'm not like an
part.
Aggressive hipster,
right? But you're the relaxed. Hey, why don't you come play? Why don't you come play hipster stuff with me?
I'm a deadhead. I'm basically a deadhead. you are making me wonder how I could fit Lanissa in. Like, would Lanissa be worth only having 2 Battle Boars?
I'm not sold on the Slaughterhousers either. So
that's fair.
I would probably drop those.
Like, drop the Slaughterhousers and put Lanissa in some other 5-point solo?
Sure.
Like, well, Maximus is 4. Maximus, you're such
well, you a could
sexy
you could also
beast.
Drop one of the gobbers to add it, make it a
to
6.
Make it a 6-point solo.
Which
Hot Chuck.
Would be Hot Chuck, yeah.
Yes. Okay, well. All right, but what you're telling me ultimately is this is still just a little mopey.
It feels mopey to me.
Well, I mean, looking at that list, it feels like you're playing a bunch of mediocre infantry. And it feels like he's not doing enough to...
I don't feel like the brigands are mediocre.
I thought brigands were pretty decent infantry, like even without help, I'm saying. Is that... Are they mediocre now?
So they're good for minions.
I played them in Scorn. I think they're still good in Disciples of Agony.
Well, but when you played them... It was with casters that, I'm assuming, that
yeah, they made them way better, and I don't feel like Carver does that.
Correct.
Yeah. I would agree with that, that what I had was mortality. And trust me, they get really crazy with mortality. There's just nothing here that helps them hit consistently on targets that aren't necessarily their prey.
Oh, well, yeah. So if you're... I mean, that's the thing. It would really demand that you manage the prey pretty heavily.
It's so dependent on your opponent. I mean, your opponent basically has to play almost into your hands many times.
That's fair. That describes every time I play with prey, but...
Yeah, because that's the problem with prey, is it's always like...
They need the switch your prey mini feet.
Yeah, they need to switch your prey mini feet.
Should I use different requisition stuff? Oh, you know what? That's the other thing.
I don't think the requisition's the problem here, but...
Okay. You're saying the Razorback crew is
I think we should
get work done.
Grade the caster.
Okay.
Fine.
Sad. I'm going to make myself sad. All right. I'm ready. Lay
first,
it on me.
First his feet. I actually...
It's okay.
I like his feet.
I've always liked his feet.
Yeah, it's probably...
Is it a 7?
I want to say 6, but...
One of my favorite games ever. This is Mark II. Okay. I realize that this is a bad story, but I played a Carver, Rasheth, twin
okay.
twin list. Basically, okay. we were playing two caster games. That was the funnest I've ever had with Ratchet, because I'm like, debuff everyone. Get some extra dice. Shit dies. Everything blows up. It's amazing. Woo!
Yeah, that's funny. If you played a heavy... No, I'm sorry. We're grading. Carry on. So what is it, Jay? Six or seven?
That's not a seven, because
I don't think it
has to be feral.
Oh, all right. Man. Sick.
It wasn't friendly feral before, but...
It wasn't before you saw?
Not in Mark II. I don't think so.
Oh.
You just said friendly models, but it doesn't matter because I was using feral models anyway.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't think the feral part really matters all that much. I guess it matters on a few solos, but
yeah.
I will say that the overtake part of it feels kind of like
it wouldn't help Hot Chuck, so I might need to take Maximus instead.
No, and Hot Chuck is better.
The reason why it matters, it feels like, is because it's dictating
the list you can build.
The list you can build, yeah, and then you're getting shoehorned into
a theme,
suboptimal models. Next we have spells.
I feel like Infernals has made him like
irrelevant.
No, not irrelevant.
Like he's talking about me.
Higher than yeah. I meant Jay. I meant Jay specifically. Like the power has gone to his head.
Oh, the Jay's. I'm okay with this. All the grades are going down because Jay realized.
Oh, nice.
So he's got to make room at the top.
Six or five.
Everything's got to be pushed down.
spells. Go and read the list again.
It can't be more than a six because of his fury stat.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Batten down the hatches, mobility. Oh, I forget how hard I can hit, dude. Oh, that's his battle group, though. Maybe I should build a really beast-heavy version of this. Quagmire, sorry, and Rift. That's it. I mean,
the turn he wants. Is it a six?
Five. No, it's not.
No, it's not. The thing is,
even if his fury stat was better,
he wants to upkeep Quagmire. Cast right. mobility and cast batten down the hatches.
Which he could do and will work for food.
And have one to camp. Oh, that's what he wants.
Never mind.
That's never going to happen.
Wait, he could do that and will work for food, couldn't he?
Can he?
No, because the soul slave can't cast things that are AoE or that are ranged self, huh?
No.
So literally the soul slave, all he can cast is the rift.
Worthless.
Yeah, that's sad.
I'm assuming he's in there to upkeep the spell for
he
free.
He would be up there for the free upkeep.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's worthwhile.
But then you still don't have the one.
Yeah, you don't have one to camp, but I mean... Again, but you're never going to get what I want.
To take your right.
They're never going to let you have it.
That's fair. Wait, what are you saying? Is there something specific that you're saying? That
I want to be able to upkeep Quagmire, cast mobility, cast batten down the hatches.
I thought you meant there might be a model out there that if I had.
Because
it,
then he would actually
would
be.
Would the
relevant.
Hermit of Henge Hold make a difference?
No.
Dang it. He's not in this theme either. All right, fine.
The worst part is he's never going to cast Rift. He's only going to ever have two of these spells out at a time.
Right.
And he's always in danger when he casts.
I'm in danger.
Yeah.
Survivability.
Five? It should be high. It should be higher because he's got freaking batten down the hatches.
15, 17 with tough. He's on a small base. The problem is that he wants to stand way far forward. It's his positioning.
He wants to be within 12 inches of his other
stuff. It's not his stats
that
are the issue because his stats aren't bad. 15, 17 right. is a good stat line. I mean, you know how many 15, 15 casters I know in the game who would love to have 15, 17?
Yeah, right.
It's strictly the positioning that he's got to stand in to make it work.
So is it lower than a five?
No. I'm just arguing. I was arguing is what you said, which it looks like it should be better than that.
Yeah.
Okay. So next we have personal impact.
Let's see. Personal.
He doesn't have a gun, right?
He does.
He has the sawed-off scatter gun.
Oh, 6-inch spray. Cool.
I mean,
it's not far enough to.
Right. He could anchor, maybe.
He can anchor.
You know.
But. This never happens, but if his feet's still there, he'll kill whatever.
Like, oh, because he's power strength 16 weapon master, 15 weapon master.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
That seems
okay.
Range 2.
It's
threatening 11.
But it's never there.
Yeah.
And he never really contributes anything because you don't.
So I'm going to say a 4.
Yeah. 4 feels about right.
Okay.
I mean, maybe, yeah. He just doesn't attack anything throughout
right,
the game.
Yeah. Right.
And then he can anchor, but it's generally because you're in trouble.
Right.
Right.
It's a desperate anchor.
Yeah.
So next we have Force Impact.
So we got Veteran Leader Feral Warriors. We got Batten Down the Hatches. We got Mobility. We got Quagmire too, right?
Yeah. I'm going to go with a 7, maybe even an 8. This is actually kind of his thing.
His Force Impact.
Yeah. I mean, on that one turn that I was talking about where he casts both Batten and Mobility, he upkeeps Quagmire and he sends everything in and he's putting it out on the line. If he survives, he's generally in such a good position that.
So let me do a counterpoint here.
Okay.
So it is kind of his thing, but there's lots of casters who they do a thing, but they're not necessarily that good at it.
He's good at it.
And they're also not going to die for doing it.
That's the problem, yeah. Is that he's going to die for doing it.
I think it can't be higher than a 7 because of that. Because the truth is, all he can ever really do is be like, okay, I'm going to attack with the troops this time. Quagmire on that unit, batten down the hatches, go and pray to his dark pig god. And then... or the turn that he's like, okay, beasts, go. It's mobility, batten down the hatches, and oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, I'm in danger.
I'm in danger.
Yeah, so I like 7. Are you saying lower than that, Jay, with your cunning argument?
We're listening.
I mean...
Oh, also his feet.
Yeah, 7's fine. It just...
It doesn't feel infernal 7.
No,
it?
Yeah, exactly. My issue... See, that's my point. I'm giving too much, and maybe, you know, I haven't seen the new models on the table. Maybe it's going to be amazing, but I still have this mindset of, cool, he's turning feral models up to 11. Sweet.
I think the feral models are better
than all Jay's numbers now are red through an infernal gate.
That's not a 7.
That's a normal 7, not an infernal 7.
Okay, what's next, Jay?
Win condition.
I mean, you're trying to have good attrition win condition. I don't think you can have I don't think you have very many assassination shots, honestly. Oh, I just realized this feral razorback crew goes up to rat 6. That's sweet.
Yes.
You're so fun.
I would say his win condition
is
like
this is one of the problems. It feels like you've put all this together and in the end you're not exactly sure how you're going to win.
Why did you do that?
Yeah, you're not exactly sure how you're going to finish
the
game.
It's a 3, Jay. Is that what you want to say? Is that what you want to hear? You got your Infernal Gate tipped on its side and it looks like a 3?
He's an Infernal 3, Josh.
Yeah. That's it, right? Now grade?
What did we really go with? I think it's probably that low.
Probably that low. Okay. I mean, truthfully, he doesn't really have a great assassination because of the models on his list.
Right.
He doesn't really have a great attrition because generally he's in such danger that he can't really do it.
Maybe I could build like a super Roadhog.
Doesn't feel
list.
Like he forces scenario all that well.
So
Roadhogs
finally,
get more interesting. I think.
Finally, yeah. Grade.
C minus. Don't make me say a D something.
Okay, I won't.
Is that what it is?
It's an infernal C minus.
Is it like a D, is it like a D plus even?
He's probably a C minus. You're probably right.
J turned your infernal gate on the other side, and now
I mean,
looks like a C.
I mean, he's below average, and he might be. The D plus is probably closer.
Like there comes a point.
It doesn't.
Where...
I'm finishing the Oblivion campaign with Carver.
There comes
everybody
a point
who was gonna buy the series just decided not to.
Dang it.
There comes a point where I struggle with just being apathetic about the grade on a cast. I was like, yeah. Oh, I mean, okay, he sucks. Is it? Is it a D plus?
C minus.
Right.
We're going with
C. I like C minus.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, now we'll grade a winner's caster, right? Is that what we're about to do?
Yeah, we're going to grade... I'm pretty sure we've graded this caster in the past, but...
I don't think we've actually graded her.
Probably not on a forecast.
I think we've talked about her on the dojo.
We've certainly talked about her in the dojo. All
right. Oh, well, now we just... Spoiler alert, it's a female.
Narrowed it down. There you go.
All right. This is... We were inspired by a convention that's renowned for fitness. And what else did I tell you, Trevor?
I don't remember.
This is the NorCal Classic.
I'm going to try to look it up again and tell you what happens at the NorCal Classic.
So this was won by Jeffrey Zach. I believe this was both a War Machine weekend and Iron Gauntlet qualifier.
So
just happened this last weekend.
For the record, the Northern California Classic is a 3-day event highlighting different aspects of fitness culture and lifestyle in the Northern
According
California
to Google,
region.
Yes.
Yes. Thanks. Thanks, Google. All right, lay it on us, Jay. Dreamer, right?
The Dreamer.
I don't want rule books.
You might say I'm a dreamer.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the NorCal Classic.
Mm-hmm.
And
Dreamer, what's the theme list?
It's Dark Menagerie.
Okay.
And on the I have a picture of his list, and he only has 2 of his 3 requisitions filled out. It says 2 of 3, but I feel pretty confident that I know what the 3rd one is.
Okay, lay it on us.
Okay, so the list.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, go ahead and read to us the Dreamer, and then read Dark Menagerie.
Okay, the Dreamer is a Fury 7 Grimkin Warlock. Speed 6, Mat 3, Rat 7, Def 15, Arm 14, Command of 7 with Gunfighter on a small base. Her weapon is a Range 10, Rate of Fire 1, Call to Sleep. She has 15 hitboxes. She has Future Sight, meaning she can boost attack and damage rolls after rolling. She has Hat Trick. When an enemy model's box while in this model's control range, you can replace the box model with a Phantasm model with the same or smaller base size. The replaced model is removed from play. You can have only one Phantasm model of each base size in play at any time. She's a Wraith Walker. At the end of your control phase, this model can gain incorporeal for one round, unless it gained incorporeal during the last round. Her weapon, Call to Sleep, has a reload of one, meaning she can spend a Fury Point to make one additional range attack with this weapon during its combat actions. And then Sleepwalker, this attack causes no damage, but instead a living war model hit by this attack becomes stationary for one round. On a critical hit, on a non-Warcaster, non-Warlock living enemy warrior model, does that mean it can affect Infernal Masters?
Currently, yeah.
Nice.
Unless this changes.
Before it becomes stationary, you take control of the model hit. You can immediately make a full advance with the enemy model, followed by a basic attack. Then the enemy model reverts to your opponent's control and becomes stationary for one round. The enemy model cannot be targeted by free strikes during this movement. Let's see. Should I talk about her phantasms, or I guess I'll do her spells first, right?
Are the Infernal Masters living?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, well, it works.
Cool. So Abyssal Gate is cost 3, range 8, POW 12. When Abyssal Gate damages an enemy non-Warcaster, non-Warlock, non-Infernal Master model, after the attack is resolved, you can place the enemy model anywhere completely within 3 inches of its current location. A model can be placed by Abyssal Gate only once per turn. Artifice of Deviation is cost 2, range control, AoE 5, upkeepable. You place a 5-inch AoE anywhere completely within the spellcaster's control range. While completely in the AoE, friendly faction models gain cover. Enemy models treat the AoE as rough terrain. Enfeeble is cost 2, range 8, upkeepable. Target model unit suffers minus 2 to attack and damage rolls. Manifest Destiny is cost 3, range self, AoE control. It lasts for turn. While in the spellcaster's control range, models in its battle group gain an additional die on melee attack and melee damage rolls. Discard the lowest die of each roll. And Mirage is cost 2, range 6, upkeepable. Target-friendly faction model unit gains Apparition, meaning during their control phase, you can place the models with Apparition anywhere completely within 2 inches of their current locations. Her Trump Arcana is All Fall Down. She can play that when a friendly faction model is disabled by an enemy attack while in the Warlock's control range. When an enemy model destroys or removes a friendly faction model from play with an attack during its activation, at the end of its activation, the enemy model becomes knocked down. That lasts for one turn. Do you want me to talk about our phantasms, Jay?
Real briefly, we can.
So the small, medium.
The small does a mark the target. The
and has
medium
annoyance.
Is a channeler.
That's right.
And the large does bulldoze, and when it dies, it kills.
Does an arcane pulse.
Yeah, an arcane
to
pulse.
Take enemy upkeep spells off within 8 inches of it.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And the Dark Menagerie, the benefits, requisition options are 2 Crabbit, Lesser War Beast, 2 Gremlin Swarm solos, or 1 smaller medium-based Grimkin solo. And the special rules, field allowance of Gremlin Swarm solos becomes 4. Gremlin Swarm solos in the army gain Serenity, meaning at the beginning of your control phase before Leech, you can remove 1 Fury Point from a friendly faction war beast within 1 inch of a model with Serenity, and each non-trooper model in this army that can gain corpse tokens begins the game with 1 corpse token. Give me the list.
Okay, so the list, we have the Dreamer,
mm-hmm.
a Cage Rager.
Okay.
And how many clockatrices?
2.
That's it?
That seems
that's lame.
2 clockatry.
Okay.
He has then 2 Gorehounds,
mm-hmm.
1 Rattler,
okay.
2 Skin and Moans.
So many. Okay. See, I should probably be able to carve a list like that.
Your beasts aren't as good as these beasts. I'm just going to warn you right now.
Then okay. Your requisitions.
Mm-hmm.
Before requisition, he has a death knell as well. And then for your requisitions, he picked Gremlin Swarms twice. And he didn't pick a requisition here, but I'll go 99% positive that it is 2 Crabbits.
You mean 1 Crabbit? Oh, 2 Crabbits. They're 2 Crabbits for... For 1.
Oh, yeah. For 7 points, you get
for 7 points. Okay.
Okay. That's it. Interesting.
Yeah, that's his list.
Okay.
So, real quick, something that's interesting about this is that he, in his pairing, he had this list, and then he had the King of Nothing with 6 clockatrices as his off list. And
so scare the shit out of everyone and then drop this and then beat the shit out of them.
Yeah. And he played the Dreamer every round.
Holy cow.
I would be interested to know how... from his opponents, like if we could line his opponents up and get them to truthfully answer,
right?
Like how many of them,
King of Nothing,
how much that affected?
Yeah, how many of them were frightened off of their list because of the King of Nothing list?
I believe all of them.
I wouldn't be shocked to find out that all of them were.
Is it a 5 round?
It was 5 or 6.
Okay,
I think it might have been 6.
Man, cool. So this thing just puts what? Gremlin swarms in your way, I mean, a hard to kill beast, and then Manifest Destiny just wrecks face.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty fair sense.
She has a great toolbox. The something that a lot of people probably underrate is just how impactful the phantasms are in the play.
Really?
Whether it's examples of things that they're great at, scoring flags, contesting zones, and blocking charge lanes.
And almost and like making your doing opponent, that stuff kind of unexpectedly, right?
And
like,
making your opponent make extra attacks yep. that they wouldn't normally have to make against
to
models
clear that were a lane out.
Yeah, that mean
effectively
nothing.
Free.
Yeah. Right. I've seen games where basically felt like opponents
I've seen a lot of games where it feels like it's specifically the phantasms that turned the game.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay.
Part of the reason why I picked this list is because this is one of the first tournament results post-Oblivion.
Oh, post-Oblivion, yeah.
And
how does she deliver all of her stuff?
They're in a tight group, and then she sends Gremlin Swarms in front of them. And I think in this particular situation in SteamWorld 2019, if you need to, you can just send Gremlin Swarms out to the edge and still play sort of in the brick in the middle with all
yeah.
the beasts.
Yeah.
And they're very hard to deal with, and you can kind of almost, I'm guessing he probably even can lead with the Clockatrices.
Does the Artifice of Deviation come into play also?
You could. So if you're playing against, like, say, Menoth, and they don't have a Pathfinder answer, then putting that out to put Rough Terrain out can be good.
Okay, not having, just for the cover then.
Yeah, having it to, it helps versus anti-shooting. In general, you're not going to want to take shooting versus Grimkin.
Okay.
But
you can also send the Gorehounds out really far. I mean, their extended control range and prowl means that they can stand in zones on the edge.
Yeah, they're also I've played several games where I end up sending in my Gorehound as kind of my screen, and I'm set up behind there to counterattack. And by the time they deal with my screening Gorehound, they can't really effectively get a good strike off on me.
Do you know, did he play into any Infernals? Out of curiosity.
No idea.
I'm guessing not.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably too early to be
okay.
I
do know the first four rounds he played against Rahera, Kolgrima, Iona, and Assyria.
Oh, interesting. So he took down the boogeyman.
Those seem pretty significant wins.
Yeah, sure.
Predator skull collections. Okay.
So let's go ahead and.
Are we grading already?
Let's grade. Yeah.
I was going to ask how you deal with this.
Yeah, I want to talk about how you deal with this, Jay.
Magic attacks. Bring
Infernals
first.
I've played against this.
Would Infernals do fine into this?
No, I don't. Probably not. I don't know.
I hope not.
So the Dreamer list that I've played into doesn't look like this because it was before Clockatrice.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, this really hasn't changed that much post-Oblivion.
Meaning she played pretty heavy beast before.
Yeah, it was always beast heavy.
It was all green. It was Deathknell, Gremlin Swarms, Kravitz, Skin and Moans.
Yeah, you likely had more Skin and Moans.
You had a second Cage Rager instead of just one.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think the one I played against had three Skin and Moans instead of just two. I mean, it looked very similar to this, just with a little bit different loadout. But this looks improved, honestly.
Yeah,
and it was a pain in the ass
so.
Before.
Yeah, Jay, how do you deal with this?
I would say that, you know, this is, I guess, an easy cop-out or whatever. But I think that you're hopefully going to be trying to apply scenario pressure onto the Dreamer.
To make her have to spread out more?
Yeah, I mean, you want to try to exploit her not wanting to spread out. Now, that's easier on some scenarios than others,
right?
But it still can happen. Other than that, I mean,
it doesn't feel like you can ever really put any pressure on her. She's too far away and behind Kravitz.
Yeah, you're not gonna.
She's too far.
Going for the assassination is generally just not viable. I will say that it is important, and this holds true versus any Grimkin opponent. But you need to be sure when they've selected their Arcana. That you understand all the triggers and what you're fighting against.
I will say that in the game that I played against this, and it's different, but it's a similar list. I felt like I could either try to kill their beasts and probably come up short because of the death knell, or I could try to kill the death knell and basically open myself up to the charges from all the beasts.
Wow.
And
those choices sound
awful. Yeah, it wasn't a great choice, but I do feel like the death knell, if you have an opportunity to get at it,
take that out
without opening yourself up too much, that I think it's probably worth it.
Like, you might want to trade
it seems
some higher points for the death
it seems really, not, that seems really difficult to
there's
accomplish.
Not a lot of factions I think can do it. I was playing Crucible Guard, so it was a possibility,
right? Yeah, sure.
But there's a lot of factions that you just you're not gonna be able to get the death knell. You're just gonna have to take what they give you.
I'd also probably say that in general, if you have some sort of defensive feat or time walk feat quote unquote, that that's, I think, going to be helpful.
I don't get factions with those.
I mean, I...
Why do you say that? Because even doesn't Manifest Destiny... That feels like that overcomes a lot of defense.
Right, it's going to depend some on what type of Time Walk feat it is. But basically my point with it is that unless you're able to do something with Scenario to apply pressure, you are likely not going to get an assassination.
Right.
And so that means that you are stuck trying to out attrition a list that does good at attrition.
Probably one of the best attrition lists in the game.
And so... But one of the things that can help with that is hopefully a good feat. Stuff that removes from play or does grievous wounds will also be, in general, good versus Grimkin.
I think if you're going to try to play the heavy-on-heavy game in this matchup, you have to have an answer for the Grimkin.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you just don't ever
You got to have some way to take them out before you try to get in there, right? All right. Give me the grade.
So feat.
Redonkulous.
I think we're mostly grading this off of...
The Trump, right?
The Trump, and her Trump's bad.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I mean, it's probably her weakest part, right?
But in general, most of the Trumps are not that good.
Stellar.
I think her Trump is better than some of the others.
Maybe. I mean how many it doesn't here's the issue.
It doesn't require melee attacks, doesn't require the model be in her control area. Only the Grimkin model has to be in her control
area. I understand.
Right. Yeah.
Here's the issue. If you are playing the Dreamer well, you're not going to lose more than a couple models in a turn.
So you're only going to knock down two things.
Right, yeah.
Okay, fine.
All right.
So is the grade a two?
I mean, I'm fine with a two or three, honestly. Whatever.
Dang.
We've never really figured out how to grade this whole Arcana thing. Anyway,
yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
All right, I like three.
Okay. Spells.
Okay, so we got... Doesn't Manifest Destiny basically make it an 8? Just out of curiosity.
Well, not
Abyssal Gate.
Not for everyone, but
Artifice of Deviation, Enfeeble, Manifest Destiny, and Mirage.
And she's a 7
right.
Fury. I mean,
what's the? Sorry, I don't fully know the list all that well. What are the animi that she also has access to?
Oh yeah, good point. She's got
Pathfinder, Wraithbane,
Time Lock,
Dodge.
It doesn't feel like
and Sprint.
Her spell list per se is all that great.
Oh, it's amazing.
Okay, explain.
Manifest Destiny.
I understand Manifest how Destiny good Manifest is great. Destiny is, but beyond that,
it just feels like she's got a lot of good like tools.
There's a lot of matchups where Enfeeble will just kind of cripple a Colossal or Battle Engine.
Mm-hmm. Further seal the deal.
The threat extension on a Skin and Bones. Gate. Is pretty big
with the Mirage. Oh.
But having that Abyssal Gate in your back pocket is also important. It makes it so that you can get Alpha Strikes that
you shouldn't have been able
you're not
to
expecting that they're not expecting,
like with an extra 5 inches of threat basically, right?
I honestly have felt like when I've played her, I've had a lot of games where this doesn't happen in every game. What I would more say is that let's say I go to a 4-round tournament, I could feel like one of the spells in her list swung a game, and each spell on her list.
Okay. I mean, so it feels like generally it's going to be Manifest Destiny that's the one that does it.
Sure. Right? I mean, that's the...
But what you're telling me is this is a list full of game swingers.
Yeah, I mean, that's sure.
So I stand by my 8. Do you think it should be higher?
I mean, I think it should be higher. Trevor thinks it should be lower. Whatever.
Do you?
Yeah,
I do. But we can't use a 7.
Okay. Oh, we can't? I'm okay with an 8 if I can't use a 7. Because it's definitely not a 6.
I'm pretty sure we've only ever applied that to the spell list.
Correct.
Fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Whatever.
So 8. 8 it is, Jay.
It's not an Infernal 8, though. I want that to be known.
Survivability.
It might be.
She's a 15,
you just
14.
Said, like, you're almost never going to get a beat on her, right?
Because of where she plays and the list she plays.
Positioning, basically.
It's positioning, yeah.
And also, it does a lot of times end up being relevant that every other turn she can be
incorporeal.
So,
that makes sense.
I mean, it's important. And the other thing is, it feels like a lot of the things in your list that would or could potentially threaten her, you don't want to get them near her because she'll sleepwalker them. She'll abyssal gate them and then just tear them up. Like, it's not worth the pain and anguish of putting something near her to try to threaten her, because you're just going to lose it.
She does go forward sometimes to try to get her hat trick off, but still.
I've never, if I feel like that in the few games that I played against her, I had a list that was probably better positioned to kill her than most, and I never had an opportunity.
Right. Yep.
Never. Not with the Kravitz standing near her, not with the wall of beasts in front of her. It was never going to happen.
So what number do you think on survivability?
I don't want to give her more than a 7 just because she's a still only defense.
She's 15, still a 15, 14. Yeah. That's fine.
But
personal impact.
Does the phantasm count as partial impact?
No. I mean, it's really...
I mean, she's going to sleepwalker.
Abyssal Gate.
Maybe a couple models a game.
Sleepwalker.
You count Abyssal Gate as personal impact?
I do. She's casting it. It does POW 12, and it moves the model.
I was thinking it was more of a force impact as a threat extender.
It does damage.
Yeah.
It does damage.
So, I don't know.
But generally, you're not doing it for the damage.
No, you're not doing it for the damage. But she's always contributing to the fight.
I think you're underrating the sleepwalker ability.
Really?
What's the range on it? Is it 12?
It's 10. 10. Is all. 10. But being able to stationary a living warrior model is pretty solid.
I think she contributes more per round than Carver does.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. We just, I mean.
I'm
just still right here in the room, Trevor.
So what did you say, Josh?
Well, I started to say a 5, but
I'm okay with the 5. That's higher than Carver.
Okay.
It's probably a 5 or 6.
Yeah. I like 5 then.
Force impact.
10.
Off the charts, apparently.
Yeah, I mean,
it's 10.
That's fine. I will concur.
Jay is not arguing.
Is it an infernal 10? Does this amp go to 11?
We're going to find out.
Win condition.
So, really, well, we just said probably the best attrition.
Probably one of the best attrition in the game, and she's probably not going to lose on time generally unless you get hit by analysis paralysis.
So she could potentially lose on scenarios. That's one of the things we
said.
That's
one of her bigger weaknesses. Right.
Of her potential weaknesses, but it's not like it's...
It's not like a highly exploitable weakness.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that's how she's not a clear game.
Does she have an assassination?
Not a fantastic one.
Okay. So maybe win conditions in the 7 range?
I think the attrition's
9?
High enough that it's probably better more than
really?
That. Yeah.
Okay. 9 it is. I mean, I guess did just play.
She doesn't necessarily have an assassination, but you can't say that it's not in the cards.
It's not present.
Right. Right.
I mean, she can stationary a caster. She can get stuff onto them. I mean, it happens. It's strong enough that you really have to respect everything she does.
Okay. And her grade, I think she's an A+.
A++.
An infernal A.
She's, I think she's... in the debate of whatever
strongest caster in the game,
yes.
Kind of thing.
Yes.
Really.
She's in that tier.
And did the Klaka tribe put
her
in
someone,
that tier?
It's hard to keep up with the number of casters in the game
right now.
It's hard to keep up with because of the number of changes in the game.
Yeah.
But if somebody had to pin me down and say, who do you think is the best caster in the game? There's a good chance that this would at least be in the conversation.
Yeah, if there was like 5 people sitting in a game shop and you're having a discussion about, you know, what do you think the strongest caster is? If anyone brought up the Dreamer, people would listen to your arguments and think, yes, you have at least a good case to make here.
I mean, there's not many that I can think of that would even be in the discussion against her.
Sure. Yeah. Let's get a dad joke.
Jeez, that came running right up on us. All right, this one is geography based. This is, you guys are,
I'm so excited.
Yeah. Did you know?
I didn't.
There are no canaries on the Canary Islands. It's the same with the Virgin Islands. There are no canaries there either. That's sad.
Do you have anything for us, Trevor?
No.
Okay. No. At some point coming up, I want to actually, I'm going to finish reading Oblivion and taking notes on it and
oh, really?
Do like a synopsis.
We'll have like a fluff.
Are we going to have a whole fluff episode?
Fluff
episode.
I'm excited.
Where can I sign up for the fluff episode? How do I prepare for the fluff episode? How do I do appropriate homework for the fluff episode?
I
just called it a fluff episode.
I've read the Butcher novel. I've read the Makeda novel. That's about it. Sorry, that's all
okay.
I got.
Yeah.
Talk about those two
recent. Yeah, we need to read something more recent, probably.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe I'll reread Dune for the fluff episode.
So. That'll be something upcoming.
I'll just read quotes from Dune for the plus episode.
Excellent.
I must not fear.
Excellent. Well, on that note, we'd like to thank everyone for listening to another episode of
Chain Attack.